Hey everybody, welcome to Over Drinks with Keitha and Chyna. I'm Keitha.
And I'm Chyna.
And what are we drinking on today, Chyna?
Well, I have, again, just like last time, I got some Cabernet Sauvignon, some wine. I don't know if that's pronounced correctly, but...
Sauvignon.
I just say Cab Sauv. You just go ahead and give me that.
Cab Sauv.
Or I'd be like red, you know, this
you
one
remember,
right here.
You remember, I told you, I don't know wines.
Right.
I don't know what any of that means. None of it. I don't know how to order it.
You don't know how to swirl it before you and sniff it before you drink it.
Do you do that?
Oh, yeah, you got to. It's the aroma. It's like reds are different than whites, and if I'm wrong, nobody tell me I'm
Did
wrong.
Did you swirl that glass you had when you were drinking wine?
Absolutely. You have to. It has to, like, I don't know the word. It's like a fumigate? Not a fumigate. Oh, hell no. That ain't it. But it's some rodents in here? No, it's like...
I don't know why, but that's not right.
But it has like some aroma or whatever that it has to when it touches the air.
Oh.
You let it like I don't know what it's called, but it tastes better when you let the air hit it. Like you pop the bottle, you let the air like. Damn, what is that phrase? I don't know.
Eyebrows twitching.
Yeah,
so
it's
all right.
What are you drinking? Let's go. Let's move on.
No, I was totally listening to that lesson.
Okay, what was the lesson? I don't think there was a lesson.
No, it was. What's the word? If y'all know it, leave us a message on Anchor or tell us what that is. Because we don't know what that is. Because we do know the word is not fumigate.
It is.
I almost said no. Okay, I am a college graduate, but I was about to say irrigate, and that's not a word.
Isn't it in the ground?
No, that's irrigation.
Oh. First of all, these words are confusing, but I swear we're both educated.
I'm pretty sure irrigate is not right. I got a whole master's degree.
Damn, I'm gonna Google that.
Who cares? COVID's here, and it gives a damn about my master's degree. So, anywho,
what are you drinking?
I am taking a couple of shots of tequila. If anybody has to tell, because that just hit me all of a sudden. So I've gotten a little silly. I'm using a Sprite chaser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gave you that idea.
You did.
It's that kind of night.
Okay, it is. I've not had a strenuous day.
It just calls for some tequila. I just said it's been that kind of day, and you're like, nope. It actually hasn't.
I just wanted it. I just wanted it. But I would be remiss if I did not say that we always remember to drink responsibly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Nobody's driving out of here. Nope. China lives less than 30 seconds away
That's
from
right.
me.
That's right. 25 steps.
That's why Kay believed we lived in a dorm. It's like, no, we don't live on the same hall, okay? But yes, so nobody's doing that. Because drunk driving is so 1995. Who's still doing that? Cut that out. If you're doing that, cut it out. And some of you who think you're a good drunk driver, you're not.
You're not. You're not in the lines.
You're not.
Okay?
You're not. So, anywho, we... are continuing our discussion on, you know, live and let live, mm-hmm. you know, live and let live part two. We were sharing our coming out stories, and I'll just take a minute and just go into a little bit more detail about some things that I still struggle with.
Yeah.
Me, like, officially saying that I'm gay and I'm in love with a woman and I'm in a committed relationship and all that. On this podcast was the first time I said that.
You guys should see her face when she was happy, but also
terrified.
Also twitched a little.
Oh God, yes. Like my heart was definitely racing. Yeah. Like I was, but the more I talked, you know, it calmed down. But that was the first time I said that, like publicly in that setting. And I still would have to say that I'm not out to everybody, but I also feel like I don't necessarily owe that to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's my life. I'm just going to live it, but I'm not going to hide it per se. Like, I want to walk around in the world being my full, complete, total, authentic self, mm-hmm. you know. But I won't lie, the thought of certain folks hearing that episode and this episode still makes me very, very nervous.
Sure.
It still does. I struggle with a lot of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of reasons, not just because I am embracing my own sexuality and I'm embracing love how it came to me.
Yeah.
And not how I thought it should be. I felt some guilt because spiritually I think a little different than how I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
I don't not believe, but I don't necessarily believe in the same way.
Sure.
I don't interpret things the same way. And I sometimes feel guilty because, and I have to remind myself, I'm not rejecting my mom and everything that she gave me. I'm just walking a different path, like as a grown up. But I have to constantly remind myself of that,
mm-hmm.
that I'm not, it is not a rejection of her.
Right.
And I never want her to feel that way,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I don't know, I probably said it before last time. It makes me sad that I don't get, because I'm in, y'all, just let me say it real quick. My girlfriend is better than yours. Like, she is an amazing human being and treats me so well, mm-hmm. and sometimes you just want to share that shit. Be like,
all the time, right?
I want to be like Julie Andrews sometimes and be like on a rolling hill and I just sing that I'm in love, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? I want to be able to do that, and I can't share that with some of the closest people to me.
Mm-hmm.
And a good friend of mine one day, because I'd gotten into like a heated conversation that was about to turn into an argument, mm-hmm. with a family member one time, and I couldn't understand how we even got there.
Yeah.
Because my comment was really like, well, you know, everybody has like a valid point of view, you know, from, and then it turned into maybe she felt as if I was attacking the way she was feeling, the way she was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, really wasn't trying to do that at all. But it so upset me. I just kind of like figured a way out of it. Cause I am not a person who wants to be in an argument with a family member. I won't argue with anybody.
Sure.
I really don't. And I don't want to put myself in a position where I'm going back and forth with somebody. I really don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured out how to get out of it and I left and I just cried in my car.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised that I was crying, but I just couldn't understand. And I was telling her about it, my friend about it. And she said, you know what? You and I have very similar backgrounds. And this path that we have chosen, this path in the arts, and sorry if you heard my neighbor upstairs, I'm not exactly sure. They're constantly trying to feng shui their shit because they just move
I'm pretty sure that was a dead body.
Maybe.
That was a big thump.
Big thumb. Like, you know, somebody is unconscious. Maybe we should just go check it out.
Look, black people run away from the fear.
Right.
We run away.
Right. Like,
I ain't hear nothing.
So loud. But anywho, she told me, you know, we have similar upbringings and we've both chosen this arts pathway. And simply being in the arts, a lot of times, I won't say 100% of the time because, you know, it makes you just more open-minded. You mm-hmm. see the world with a wider lens,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're more accepting of people and their differences. At least that's what the arts did for me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, because of that, we have grown in a way that our family hasn't grown. Mm-hmm. Not that they haven't grown, but we've grown in a different way. And I'm not saying my entire family, I'm just saying, you know, family in general. But, and then you find that you no longer fit in with the people you love the most.
Yeah.
And it's hurt. It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know, just unnerving. And I'm learning to get to a place where I'm all right with that.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's why you hear the phrase chosen family a lot, you know, especially in all communities, like, you mm-hmm. know, like people that have grown up in a single family home, or, you know, people in the LGBTQ community, or, you know, any type.
Everybody. Everyone. I mean, Black people historically have that chosen family, right. because a lot of times your actual blood family were taken from you.
Absolutely.
So you learn to make connections mm-hmm. with the people that you are with.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's just, I think that's deep. I think one thing that you said earlier about, like, that feeling of coming out, like that for me, my experience that I have is that never goes away. Sorry. But, like, you know, when you have to come out, and this is just my experience, but, like, you have to come out we have to come out so many times, right? Like, when I get a new job, or mm-hmm. I move to a different new city, or I meet new people, or I go to a new barber shop,
you just happen and, like, anybody say, you ever been to Middle Sea Jazz? Oh, yeah, I took my girlfriend there.
Right.
And it's a coming out, and, like, it's always like coming, how they're going to react to
right,
it.
Right, so it's, right. So that never goes away, wow. really. It's just you get more comfortable with it, and comfortable and accepting of, you know, who you are, and you know, that's not all of you, but it's a big part of you, and so mm-hmm. or a part of you, and so I think that coming out piece, just that's always, but then you got to figure out if you're safe to come out, right? Mm-hmm. So
that's another thing I worry about, being safe,
yeah,
and able to walk in a space as myself, mm-hmm. or like walk in a space to hold her hand. Not that I just have to hold her hand all the time, but y'all, quite frankly,
you want to.
I want to. I just want to be all up on her all the time.
Right. That's not, that's normal in a heterosexual relationship.
It is. But I want to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, in high school when you went to Carowinds and you just leaned all up on your little boyfriend because you could, because nobody, the chaperone was somewhere else in the park. So y'all leaning and rubbing all on each other while you're waiting to get on Thunder Road.
Never did that.
But I'm just saying, that whole idea, I want to be able to do that, right. And it not be an issue.
And like, get stares or whatnot. Yeah.
And even if you stare, like, is this person going to, like, do something because they don't like what they see?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like,
it's frightening. But, I mean, it's all those things, too. And can you imagine? I mean, that's what we experience. And that's what a lot of people experience, not even just the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. Like, people are just jerks, right? People are just mean. You look at the people that, like, you could be going to a grocery store, minding your own damn business,
mm-hmm.
and never make it back home. That's how fragile our lives are, and how dependent we are on the sanity of others.
Mm-hmm.
It's really scary if you really think a lot about, like, how many people we come in contact with, and how many people our actual lives are in their hands. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, you just, like, never know. Like, you know, I always try to be, like, aware of my surroundings, but you can't necessarily be that aware. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know. So, but I know that I have to push that worry, you know. And it was in my brain when we were walking around in uptown or whatever, and I just was having the thought, but before it could finish, she had already taking my hand.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, I pushed that to the back, and I'm going to just enjoy being out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we were fine. I mean, the night was fine. It's not. And I've not seen a whole lot of that here in Charlotte. You know what I mean? People seem to be okay,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, won't bother you. I will tell you, we went out in D.C., it was so funny. And it was a young group of Black girls, you know, they'd had a fun night. They, you know, they were a little inebriated, extra loud, just having a good time being young people.
Sure.
But they were walking behind us. And, you know, she had my hand, we were holding hands, and then she walked me around to the car, and then she opened my door. And one of them went, damn, I didn't get somebody to open the door for me. It was just funny. It was just funny. That was her reaction to it. She's like, it's cute.
And most people are.
Yeah.
You think we come across more good people than bad, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I do on a regular basis. Yeah. I do. But, you know, I can't lie. Those worries are there, you know. Especially, you know, I deal with a lot of church guilt.
Mm-hmm. Don't get me started on church and religion.
You know, you can say a little piece because I think it still fits. And because it'll also, that'll be a good segue for us to talk a little bit about Lil Nas.
Oh, yeah.
X, you know. But yeah, you know, that church guilt is real. And I know you told me that the pastor was not looking at me when she said that same-sex marriage is not of God, but she was looking directly
at me. Looking at you.
And this is way before I even knew I was gay.
But you knew in that moment because you knew her ass was looking at you.
And I just felt like I couldn't turn my head.
Because she had a spell on you.
Yeah, no, but I felt like if I looked to the left or to the right, people would know.
People were looking at you.
And I guess you're right. I did on some level know that there was something here.
You're like, wow, that doesn't feel right.
Why is she looking at me?
And why is everybody pointing and laughing at me?
No.
Meanwhile, they're picking their own noses.
I didn't look to the left, to the right. Because I felt like if I'd done that. And then I didn't want to. And because I believed in everybody being allowed to be who they are, even if I didn't know who I was or what I wanted at the time. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to nod my head in agreement either.
Okay.
Because you know what I mean? You might do that just to fit in. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. You know, just to fit in. But I didn't want to do that because I didn't agree.
Right.
So I just sat real, real still. Like, maybe somehow she'll turn into a T-Rex. And if I stay still, she can't see me.
Right.
You know?
T-Rex, invisible cloak.
Can't see you.
Right.
If you stand real still, T-Rex cannot see you.
Apparently. Okay.
So you've ever encountered
Good one, to know. I'm going to go to Jurassic
Park.
Be
very still. But anywho, so did you experience like anything like church hurt and stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think growing up in the family that I was in, I was actually raised in as a Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a Jehovah's Witness, like it was big on like no celebrating holidays, no, you know, being gay was a hell no. So many other things, right? A plethora. But I mean, and so that was a big part of like growing up. I just felt like it was just wrong. And looking back, hindsight, I can realize that I had like these feelings and these thoughts, you know, of being attracted to women or having a crush on my teacher or mm-hmm. just some really gay stuff.
Yeah,
right?
I know. I think back too and I'm like, that was gay.
That's pretty gay.
That was pretty gay.
But then like I can remember like every time I went to church or even as I got older because I played sports, so I didn't get to go to, you know, the Kingdom Hall and the church a lot. Mm-hmm. And so as I got older, we kind of removed ourselves a little bit from, you know, Jehovah's Witness. And I wasn't practicing. I didn't identify with that. So I got older so I could explore, mm-hmm. you know, because I was sick of like, I didn't understand why we couldn't celebrate these things. I couldn't mm-hmm. understand these parameters that we had on my life. And
because there's an issue with birthdays and stuff like
that. Birthdays, and I'm crunk on a birthday. Like,
yeah, you are.
My birthday.
Y'all, she is. Meet us.
It is a holiday, right? And mm-hmm. I tell people this all the time. They're like, you know, why are you so geeked about Christmas or your birthday or this? I'm saying, because this is literally my fifth year celebrating it. Like, I'm 32 years old and I've only celebrated for maybe 5 years. Maybe. Wow. Right? So I'm excited about it. But anyways, yeah, I had the same thing. I would go to church, you know, as I got older in high school and college and beyond. And every place I went to, it was like everyone had a different, like, viewpoint on something. Mm-hmm. And it was like, if we're all worshiping the same God, how is it so different? And at the same time, how are we, like, using this religion thing and this Bible thing and these verses to, like, shun so many different people
mm-hmm.
for different reasons and to validate these corrupt, cruel things that we're doing each other. Slavery, we validate that, right? Like, you mm-hmm. know, hating homosexuals, we validate that in any of our scriptures. You know, we do so much, you know, validating with the Bible, but then we turn around and say, oh, but, you know, Jesus said, love everyone. What?
Yeah, as if, like, your behavior that you're exhibiting is not sinful.
Right.
And, oh gosh, what was I going to say? I just totally have a brain fart. Sorry, guys. But anyway, your behavior is just as sinful is what you think doing.
Right, absolutely.
You know what I mean? But what you're doing is okay. Like, you get to pick and choose sins that you're okay with it.
Right.
That you're comfortable with.
Or make excuses for them.
But you exclude people. I was taught, you know, you're supposed to walk in love. Mm-hmm. And then you exclude people from coming to things. And you don't necessarily have to say, hey, you're gay and you can't come in here, or you're trans, or you're this or you're that and you can't come in here. But your behavior can let a person know that they are not welcome
here. Absolutely.
And especially not as themselves. Right. Not being themselves fully. You're not welcome here. Your behavior can make people feel excluded. And then you want to talk about Jesus and his life, but he walked with people that people would consider the outcast or the underdogs. He walked with them. He sat with them. He ate with them. Mm-hmm. But you feel like you can't. And you're doing all of that in his name. And y'all spewing all this hate in his name.
Right.
That's not the way to get somebody on your team.
It's really not.
If you are supposed to be a fisher of men, that ain't how to do it. The bait you got on the hook ain't the right bait. Is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I also know God says, come as you are. Just like you are. And I love you just as you are. Mm-hmm. I love who you are. I love who you were. I love who you will be.
Mm-hmm.
All the pieces of you, I love. That's what I want to do. I want to be able to love a person for who they were, who they are, who they will be. All their pieces. I want to be able to love a person. You be absolutely whoever you want to be.
Yeah.
And I'm rocking with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to rock with you. And I don't understand why, you know, I just don't understand. There's a better way to do it. I feel like you don't have to understand. You don't have to understand to respect a person as a human being.
I mean, I agree. And I think that's why organized religion has, I'm turned off to that. I'm 100% turned off to that. I believe in God. I am very spiritual. I believe all those things that you said, right? Mm-hmm. God knows your heart, or, you know, like, love thy neighbor, all those rules and those things that we like really abide by. I agree with like 90% of those, right? Mm-hmm. But I really probably agree with 100% of those. Mm-hmm. But the way in which we practice those, the way in which people act and how their, like you said, their behaviors are, I can't get on board with that, because what I've seen is just hatred and ridicule and shunning and it's crazy. So much judgment
.
And like I said, what did I say like last episode? This world is founded on hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Like, there is so much hypocrisy that I see just in where when I go to work, in how we operate, in my own job, in my own career, and in society. And I just feel like organized religion has become such a corrupt thing, and has become such this money profit thing, that we are willing to do anything,
mm-hmm.
You know, for whatever reason.
To push your own idea or your agenda.
Right, right.
Like, as much as an agenda as you feel like people who sit on the left, which I hate to say that like that, have, you have one too.
Absolutely.
You have one too. That's why I think therapy is a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think in therapy, I have learned how to own my shit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, in therapy, you learn how to work through a lot of different things, but you also have to learn how you own your own shit. How did you contribute to where you are now?
Absolutely.
How did you contribute to the falling out that you had?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because in a relationship or in any situation, two people got you here.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about like some sort of spontaneous violence that somebody does to another person or anything like that. But I'm just talking about just owning, like, when, you know, if it's a friendship that has fallen apart, if it's with your family, and in any way, you check yourself. Was there anything that I could have done differently? And if there was, own it.
Own it.
Mm-hmm. You know, you own it. If there are apologies that need to go out, you make those apologies and then you leave it there, because you owned it. You said what you said. You apologize and you move forward. Like,
humility is difficult, though.
It is. And that's something you can learn to have a little bit of if you take your ass to therapy.
Yeah. And self-reflection. Good God.
I mean, it is. Self-reflection is one of the greatest gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have, like, you know, like, take a step back. How am I causing a situation to be worse. And as far as judgment goes, you know, I'm an educator, so I come into contact with all sorts of children.
Sure.
You know, and there are some babies that I see, I was like, mm-mm. I don't know. You're a future cast member on Pose, ain't you, boo? Like, I don't even know if the baby knew. But you know, you meet so many different kids.
Oh, yeah.
That have so many different things going on. And to come into my room, if you are not accepted anywhere else, you will be accepted in my space.
Sure.
I never want you to feel unloved or unwanted when you are in my space.
Yeah.
I never want that. So that's why I have to check myself for things.
Right.
You know, and if you find it to where the way somebody else is living their life, especially when it's not like negative, they're not like hurting themselves in any way, shape, form, or fashion, or hurting anyone else. It's just something you don't like or you don't agree with. You need to really dig deep to see why is it bothering you so much.
True.
What's going on with you that's bothering you so much? I was talking to China earlier, and we were talking a little bit about Mike Tyson talking to Lil Bootsy. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the questions Mike Tyson asked Lil Bootsy. He's like, what's with you and the gays, man? Like, do you think you're a homosexual? Mm-hmm. Is that why you feel like you need to insult them in order to remove yourself from it?
Right.
You know, and of course, Lil Boosie said, no, I'm not. But he's just like, why are you going so hard for that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why you, that's what's making me scratch my head. I'm not attacking you, but why are you going so hard after that? If you haven't heard that interview, it's on, I think it's called The Hot Box. With Mike Tyson. You can just Google it. If you just put in Mike Tyson and Lil Bootsy, the interview will come up. It's definitely a really good one to hear. So let's talk a little bit about, since we're talking about, like, you know, religion and things like that, Lil Nas X and his new song and music video and his shoes.
I've only seen the shoes. I don't know about the song or music video.
Oh my God. Yeah. We're going to have to watch it before you leave today. So is the song, I think the song is Call Me By Your Name. I think that's the name of the song. Let me look it up because I don't want to be giving out wrong information.
And you're talking about the shoes that Nike is now suing him for.
Because Nike didn't make the shoes and he put the swoop on there. Oh. Can't just be using the swoop now.
It's like, what's the shoe? It's where you have like the, why do I have the Adidas and I got like five stripes instead of like the
right. The three, you got Faditas. Faditas.
I got Faditas.
it's called Call Me By Your Name.
Okay.
And basically he's in a garden. He's got this like blue wig on. He's like singing. And then a snake comes. The snake has the head of a guy. And the snake slithers around and gets on top of him. And I guess they are doing what
Snakes
and Lil Nas X do. And then
Then
what happened? I lost my train of thought. So I'm sorry, guys.
They made a snake baby?
So no. So then there's like another scene where so many things are happening. There's another scene where he's dancing on a stripper pole and then he spins all the way down to hell and then he's inhale, giving the devil a lap dance, and then he rips the horns from the devil and puts him on his own head, and he has since becomes the devil. You know, I mean, you got the church folks is in an uproar, okay? They in a total uproar.
Well, first of all, they're listening to Lil Nas X. Yeah, and they're... That's the number one issue. I
wasn't really checking for Lil Nas X. I wasn't like either.
So this is all new to me.
But, right, I can't believe I haven't heard any of this. So it's been real dramatic with what people got to say. And, then, you know, on both sides, like, people say, you know, that he will save a lot of young black queer lives. With him, he is basically saying, I'm going to be unapologetically myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to be no role model for your kids. I don't make my, I'm not your parent. I'm not your kid's parent.
Mm-hmm.
You control what they listen to or this or that. And, you know, like, it's not me. And I just feel like, here's my thoughts on the whole thing. Because, you know, I've heard a lot of family talk about it. But I just really hadn't chimed in that much. Because first of all, he's not the first artist to have somewhat the demonic stuff going on. Like, you know, questionable. He's just maybe more overt with it, but whatever. And don't get me wrong, you know, art is art, you know, but, you know, and if you put it out there, we get to critique.
Yeah.
I felt like he could have been a bit more sensitive for the fact that his fan base were kids. That's how he got on. Like, can nobody dispute that? That when nobody going as hard for Old Town Road as your third, fourth, and fifth graders, okay? They were going hard for it.
They use them in schools.
It had a little catchy tune. That's why they were, like you say, able to remix it and all. Mm-hmm. That's what put them on. Now, he could have been a little more sensitive to that. But again, he is also correct. He is not the parent. You know, you have to regulate and pay attention to what your kids are listening to. I'm just, you know, I'm just saying there are two sides to this here coin. I think for every fan he's lost, he's gained several more. The amount of money that he's made just from views because of the controversy. You know, there are people watching it just to be shocked and appalled.
Yeah.
So they can be shocked and appalled by it. You know, I think there may be an audience. Some people feel like he's completely ruined his career.
Okay.
You know, all of that. And I was like, it may be. Sometimes you throw the die and it will or it won't. And time will tell. But I think there is an audience for what he's doing right now. And I really think a lot of it is he was also suppressed for so long. Mm-hmm. And he talks about being told on a regular basis that he was going to hell. And and I guess he said, hey, if I'm going, I'm a strip a pole, spin all the way to that mug, right? But I just think he might have been taking the words that, you know, folks had said to him and said it, that they said it because they loved him, which is like a really twisted form where you're saying these hateful things. And he talked about all the things that were going to happen to him because he loved men. I think he took what they said and kind of turned it on its head. Yeah. Or he took what they said and actually just made a visual representation of it. Now, the shoes with the blood in them, because you know about the shoes, right?
I just know about that they were, yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, they like blood filled, but that's just like one drop of there's human like blood red. In there. It's a little, and then the rest of it's like red blood. Liquid. Black something.
I thought they were black.
The shoes are black, but there's blood in there.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing with the shoe. There's blood in it. Like, actual blood. But I think it's like maybe a drop of it and then some other kind of like
interesting
liquid or whatever.
One pair?
And everybody.
Just one pair?
No, it's the shoes sold out. I don't know who made the shoes, but they gone. Like I'm saying, there's an audience for everything, you know. Some people bought it.
Yeah,
but I think Lil Nas X is young and he's growing and he is figuring out who he is, and I just think we just need to give him the space to do that.
Yeah.
And if you don't like what he is selling, you just simply don't have to buy. Yeah. And that is the beauty of it. You don't have to listen, you know, but also you don't have to condemn, and you have to remember that you don't have a heaven or hell to put anybody in. So that's something we have to remember.
Yeah.
So, and we can also talk about the flip side of that coin. And that flip side of that is Lil Mama.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had so much to say. Now, you know about all that, right?
I know about most of
Lil Mama. I'm going to let you go into that.
Oh, I don't know enough to talk about it. But what I do, or to really dive into it, but what I do want to say on Lil Nas X is like, one, who cares? Like I don't have enough time or energy to like put my opinion out there like that, like as if it matters, right? It doesn't really matter. Like I don't care. And like, I also don't like death metal. I don't like some rock and roll, and I choose not to listen to it. And it does not affect me. It does not like cause me harm. It doesn't like impede on my day.
But you ain't out there belittling death metal artists, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm like, you know what? I don't listen to that shit. But you know what? Make your money the way you want to make your money.
Do your thing.
And then I would say, like, if anybody's heard of I know you're going to talk about Lil Mama, but think about there's a guy named Morgan Wallen. It's a country artist. And when somebody said that, you talked about people think he's going to ruin his career. His name is Morgan, and he was a country artist.
Is he a black guy?
White guy.
Okay.
And I just heard in the news maybe like a couple weeks ago, and he was kind of not well known, or he was semi well known. Mm-hmm. He went to a party, and then he got caught on camera saying the N-word, calling some black guy the N-word, his Uber driver or something, like getting in a fight and being like, that N-word, blah, tisk, blah, blah. Tisk. Right. Tell me why he went to number one. Sold out, I mean, like, highest selling record ever since that day for 10 straight weeks until Justin Bieber put out a song.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm remembering it. Because
his career ain't ruined.
There's an audience for that. And there's a faction of people that felt like he shouldn't have had to say sorry for saying the N-word.
Because it's part of their
and
nature.
And they feel attacked and all that kind of stuff. So it's just like... when everybody was like, boycott Chick-fil-A, I'm just going to put it at that. That whole boycott Chick-fil-A, where everybody doubled down on going, all the Christians doubled down on going to Chick-fil-A.
Yep.
Like, I was called and told to go eat at Chick-fil-A. I was like, okay, why don't we eat at Chick-fil-A? I can't remember. This was some years ago. Right.
But that's the discrepancy, and it goes back to race, and I just can't get enough of it. But it goes back because Morgan is a white man in country music who was maybe slapped on the wrist, and now he's even more famous.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're talking about Lil Nas X, who's been in the news off and on for forever for being this gay black man. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, it's some more trauma that he has having to deal with. And then talking mad shit about this guy. But this other Morgan guy... Okay.
It was a blip.
He said the N-word. He was drunk, you know, no big deal. Like, what?
It happened.
That is a level of hypocrisy that I don't understand. And that's where we're like, oh, let God forgive him. Let's forgive him. But then, oh, okay, let's throw Lil Nas X in hell because he's catering to the gay people, right? Or whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
I don't like that. And you're about to talk about Lil Mama because Lil Mama's like a one-hit wonder and kind of trash to me. So you can go ahead and talk about little not-so-mama.
Well, right. Like, you know, you have to think about them kind of names when you get grown.
Yeah. Okay. A little Bow Wow.
He's just
Bow Wow now.
Just Bow Wow now. But she basically made comments about Dwayne Wade's child. And also about the idea of children having her genitals cut off, or which she means reassignment surgery and things like that. And I don't know why people think that the moment a child says, I'm not this, I'm that, that parents are like, all right. And they run to the doctor and go to the doctor and says, my child says they're not this, they're that. And the doctor goes, okay, let's get on the operating table. Done. That ain't the way that shit go down, y'all. That ain't the way it go down. That's why I talked about being in a relationship, getting to know people who are different from yourselves. Reading is also fundamental. You know what I'm saying? If you want to know something so that you can say things that are intelligent and you don't spew trash all over your Instagram page like Lil Mama did, talking about I'm going to start a straight like rights advocacy group as if straight people don't have rights already. Like straight people can walk down the street and hold each other's hand. It ain't no big deal.
And that's a small
right. It ain't no big deal. They ain't got to go in or travel to a different state so they can get married.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they ain't got to fight to have people on their health insurance and this
or
and
get
that.
Health care.
You can go get the kind of health care you need, and your doctor ain't got no problem. He or she doesn't say, I don't work with people like you.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got to worry about being murdered because somebody finds out you were assigned this particular gender at birth, but you're this gender. You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about none of that. So you already got rights, Lil Mama.
Right.
Like, all of that noise that she talked just confirmed why I
think
have not been checking for her at all.
Right.
You know, and then people love to say hateful shit and then qualify that by saying, don't get me wrong, I got family members who are this. I got, you know, I got a colored TV. Like, who cares?
Right.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't make you not a racist. Doesn't make you not a homophobe. Doesn't make you not a xenophobe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just insane, you know. And I think, you know, her reasoning could be she needs to be relevant.
Always.
Because playing Left Eye, I feel like, was the last relevant thing she did. Was she did it? A decent job at that.
Wasn't that great either.
She did a decent job being Left Eye, but that was the last relevant thing she did. And nobody cares.
And if she said she was a lesbian, I wouldn't be shocked. That's the thing. Like, I wouldn't be shocked.
Or curious.
But yeah.
And everybody's been curious.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's on the spectrum.
I truly believe that. One of my students told me that. And she's like, oh, Miss Blakeney, everybody's a little bit gay.
Oh, your student's a genius.
She says, I always think everybody's a little bit gay. I was like, maybe. Yeah.
You've kissed a girl. If you're a girl, you kissed a girl and liked it at least a little bit. You're on the spectrum. If you're a man and you hit each other's balls or see each other's naked, you're a little gay. Right? That's how I say it. Like, who hits each other's balls? Like, for what?
People hit each other's balls?
Yeah. Like, I've seen guys that are like, ball check. And I'm
I've seen that.
And I understand, but like, really, why? Why? I don't go to a girl and be like, titty check.
Yeah. Hit you in the nipple.
Unless I'm trying to, like, get a little nipple. That's a different situation.
Yeah, that's another story for another day.
Right. Oh, man.
Oh, gosh. But, you know, I guess I don't have too much more to say about Lil Mama.
R.I.P. Lil Mama. R.I.P. Lil Mama's career.
Yes. Go live and try to do something with yourself. I don't know.
Just stop. Get out of other people's business. Who cares?
Yes.
Who cares?
Mind your business.
Like, damn.
Get you some business to mind.
Right.
You know? Get you something to do.
Go work on an album. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you rap? Like, what is it that you do?
I'm pretty sure you were an artist for 2 seconds.
Or so something.
Like what was her song? Is it lipstick or?
My lip gloss was
popping. Lip gloss. Okay.
Look, and you know what I mean? And you know who was popping
disgust.
That song? Yes. I wish I was recording this because if y'all could see me. Because who was bumping it was gay men. Like, drag queens was right. Like.
That's her
they
audience.
Lip gloss was popping. You know, so you done messed up now.
Yeah, she messed up.
You done messed up.
You're a better person than that. Do better, be better. Okay, little mama?
Yes, please. But yeah, I guess, you know, we can go ahead and wrap this here thingy up.
I'm good with that.
With
I'm good with that.
Silly. You know, guys, we are over 30. And we sleepy. It's late. But nah, for real. But really wrapping it up with saying just like, you don't have to agree with something in order to respect it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk more about this in our next episode, but I would be remiss if I didn't talk about George Floyd at this moment and the trial that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
That murder did not have to take place. And I say murder because that's exactly what it was.
Right.
You don't have to change, and I'm going to quote D.L. Hughley when I say this, you don't have to change your political affiliation. You don't have to change your religious beliefs. You don't have to change your mind. You don't have to agree with Black Lives Matter or any of that to know that what happened on that day was not okay.
Right.
So to just be a human being, you don't have to do any of those things. You can disagree with a person, vehemently disagree with a person, and still be able to move in love because you can see their humanity.
Mm-hmm.
You can see their humanity. That's it does not require a great deal of work to do that. And I would challenge all of you on a serious note that are out there listening, as you go about your normal day, I want you to take note of how you are reacting to certain things? What sort of feelings rise up in you when you see certain things when it comes to people? Mm-hmm. I do it on a regular basis because if I feel it, and I have to check that and bring that back down and remind myself that that is a human being,
right,
who is worthy of my respect. Point blank, period. That's what I have to remind myself of every day. And I just want to encourage you all to be kind to yourselves and be kind to each other. It's not hard. It's not hard. And if you are out there and you are struggling with anything at all about acceptance and love and feeling worthy, please reach out. China and I are not licensed therapists at all, but I don't mind helping you with a Google search to get you connected to some services where you can have someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind being your cheerleader. I can do that. So I'm going to tell you today that you are worthy of respect. You are worthy of love. You are worthy of kindness. You are worthy of every good and perfect thing that exists. So that's what I want to say on that.
China. Well, I'm supposed to say something after?
I'm sorry. I did. I got on my soapbox. Let me get down right quick.
Yeah, that was pretty deep. I liked it. It was deep. I felt that. I mean, there's not much to add to that other than ditto. Like, I agree, you know, like, we do need to lead with empathy and love and see people as humans. And so I agree with everything you said, and I just want us to do better and be better. I say that every time, but I truly believe that if we are just better people and better to each other, you know, this world will be a better place. And so, you know, just do better. You know, we all can do better.
All right. Well, friends, we're going to leave you on that note, and we will see you next time.
Arrivederci.
Overdrinks with Keitha and China.
Holla.